Exodus 3 and verse 7. I want to talk to you tonight about the cows and bees and enemies. Amen. The cows and bees and enemies. Exodus 3 and verse 7. Exodus 3, 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Again, Exodus 3, Exodus all about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And what a wonderful thing, what a blessing, what a great, great thing for them to be able to escape bondage. And again, the comparison with us getting saved, what a wonderful thing to be saved. I talked this morning about praising the Lord and how we were made to praise the Lord. Amen. And we have plenty to praise God about just when we think about our own salvation and what we have in Jesus Christ. But the children of Israel, of course, as you think about this announcement that, hey, we're going to be free and we're going to go into the land flowing with milk and honey, again, indicating the blessings of God. But then it says, unto the place, and then it lists all these enemies. And you would think that, and I'm not sure they really heard that. I'm not sure they really got that at that point. I'm not sure that we do as we read it. We just think, well, praise the Lord. I mean, they're getting out of Egypt. They're going to be free. They're going to, you know. But what God is saying is, God's saying, I've got a wonderful life for you, but it's not just going to be easy. I really get frustrated today with the idea of a lot of Christians that, hey, you know, if you get saved, everything's easier. Well, it's not. It's better, but I'm not going to say it's easier. And that's why I've entitled this The Cows and Bees and Enemies, because obviously we have a land of milk, but it's not in a glass. Amen. We have a land of honey, but you got to get the honey. And then we have a land of great, great victory, but there are tons of enemies that they are going to have to fight and conquer in Canaan, the promised land. And so I want to help you tonight with really a simple message about our Christian lives and how God made us to have victory. He made us to praise Him, but in that He made us to have victory so we would always have reason to praise Him. I hope that you're having victories in your life. I hope that you're getting the milk out of the cow. I hope that you're getting the honey out of the honeycomb. And I hope that you're seeing victory after victory over the enemies that are all around us. And so tonight, the cows and bees and enemies. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. I do thank you for just a good spirit and a good week. And God, all that you've done for us, and certainly we've seen some milk, we've seen some honey, and we've seen some victories this week, and we thank you for that. We do, again, come to you praying for the Markhams and asking you, God, to give them just the comfort and the presence of God in that hospital room now. I pray you'll be with Dave and comfort him. I pray that you'll be with Karen and, Lord, all the family. I know they are just having a tough time with it, but give them a victory, God. Just show them that you're God and that you love them and help them and help each of us, every person here going through their own battles. Lord, whether it's the Amorites or the Hittites or the Hivites or whatever it might be in our lives, Lord, we pray for victories in this place and in these folks' lives, and we ask that you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Canaan, of course, is called the Promised Land. It's called a land of milk and honey. It's referred to many times in Scripture. And Obviously, we know it to be a place of war. We know it to be a place where many, many battles would be fought. It's one of the reasons why I'm not so sure that Canaan is really a picture of heaven, because when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to fight any battles. Amen? I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be peace. It's going to be wonderful, and we're going to have a wonderful time there. I don't think there's going to be any wars. And so I think Canaan really is a better picture of the victorious Christian life. I think it is the life that we have after we get saved. I think it's the life that God has planned for us after we get saved. And again, I want you to notice that it's not just all fun and games. Amen? It's not. Milk and honey. Well, I understand that. But again, you have to, you know, you have to milk a goat maybe. And you have to get stung by a bee every now and then to get the honey. But more than anything, you have all these enemies. And God made it very clear, hey, I'm sending you to a land, it says, a land flowing with milk and honey unto the place of. And by the way, if you, you know, milking a cow is one thing, but milking a cow while there's enemies around you, that's a whole other thing. Getting honey out of a honeycomb is one thing, but doing it with the enemy surrounding you and constantly in battle, hey, the victorious Christian life. Yes, there's milk. Yes, there's honey, but there's enemies all around. And it's a constant battle for you and I. And so as the people realized they escaped Egypt, and it should have just been a time of praise. Amen. I mean, honestly, as God parts the Red Sea, as God sends the plagues on the Egyptians, and one by one, God really defeats the small g gods of the Egyptians. And as the children of Israel have seen the great victory at the Red Sea, where all of Egypt's army is drowned as they pursued them into the Red Sea, it just seems that there would have been praise swelling, but then came the reality of, well, that wilderness, you know, before we get to this victory, that wilderness and difficulties. And sure enough, when they had opportunity to enter, all of a sudden they saw the enemy and it looked bigger than they could handle. All of a sudden they had seen God send the plagues. They had seen God part the Red Sea. They had seen God do so many great things, and when they had an opportunity to enter into the victorious Christian life, to enter into Canaan, they didn't have faith to do it. You know the story. Two of them did, Joshua and Caleb. Two of them said, hey, we can do it. Two of them said, we can win. Two of them said, we don't care what kind of battles we have to fight. Two of them said, hey, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. Our God can do anything, but others said, oh, no, we can't do it. And it's sad because the Bible says in Hebrews they could not enter in because of their unbelief. And unbelief, sad to say, causes us a whole lot of wilderness, folks. Unbelief, I'm telling you, is the difference between smiling and frowning throughout most of your life. Unbelief, you know, it's somebody who won't get baptized. They just, well, you know, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. When I got saved and I knew I needed to get baptized, the first thing I worried about, hard to believe, but I worried about my hair being wet in front of all those people. Honestly, I had long hair down on my shoulders, and I was worried about that. And you know, it's like, do you believe God or not? Do you trust God or not? A baptism is, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not ashamed. Well, when you think about all the folks that have been baptized over the years, and when they got baptized, they lost their jobs. When they got baptized, they lost their family. When they got baptized, they lost their lives. And to think that I worried about something so silly as my hair getting wet, and what would people think? Yeah. You know, it's not entering in because of unbelief. I'm so glad that I finally got baptized. Amen. I'm so glad that I finally started to tithe, because I didn't enter in at first because of my unbelief. How will we make it? How can we survive if I give a tenth? Oh, how can we make it? And there was a point where I didn't enter in because of my unbelief. Being faithful to church. There was a time I wasn't faithful to church. When I first got saved, I struggled going to church. And I didn't enter in because of my unbelief. Oh, let me tell you, folks, I was just like the children of Israel. It was a wilderness for a while. You know, you say, what happens to new converts? Well, I'll tell you what happens. They're in the wilderness. They get in a wilderness because they don't enter in to what God has for them. Sad to say, there's a lot of folks been saved a lot of years. It's just kind of been a wilderness. And you know, whatever the subject, whatever the topic, are dealing with sin, giving, soul winning, whatever it may be, unbelief will always cause you to have a wilderness instead of a victory. And God wants us to have a victory. God wants you to have the milk. God wants you to have the honey. God wants you to have the victories. But you have to understand, you have to trust Him. You have to cross that Jordan River and go in and possess that land. Amen. There's folks who won't sing in the choir. I'm terrified. I'm too scared. I just trust God. Trust God with that thing. Trust God with it. Oh, you know, I'd get my CDL, but I'm just too nervous. Do it. Trust God. Trust God. Well, I'd get on a bus route. Hey, we have college. And by the way, I'm supposed to mention Paul Potter tonight. What a wonderful person he is. He told me, tell everybody how wonderful he is. And so he really did, Sandy. I know that's hard to believe. But in reality, he is a pretty good guy. But here's the main thing about him, whether he's good or not. Bible says there's none good, Paul. But you know what he is? He is a hard worker. And who's going to take his place while he's in college? Who's going to take Gabby's place while she's in college? Who's going to take these young... I mean, seriously, somebody's going to have to step up. Well, you know, I would, but I just don't know. Okay, wherever you don't know, trust him and just do what he said. Some of you folks, seriously, step up. Step up and say, look, I am going to go for the victorious Christian life. I think of David over there. He's been bugging me all day about different things. Pastor, you got to talk to this person. You got to talk to that person. Hey, we got to do this. You know, because he's going to leave his ministry here in your hands. Amen. And it's he loves it. That's where his heart is. He loves the ministry. He loves what he's doing. And you know, Gabby, the same. I mean, you know, anybody, they're going off and they're saying, hey, who's gonna do this? And we all just kind of, well, you know, I'm going to pray that somebody, how about you? Amen. Amen. Because again, it's one of those things where you say, well, I just don't know. And unbelief causes us wilderness instead of victory. How much are you missing out on because you just don't believe? Amen. It's a scary thing to think of what we miss out on because we just don't trust God enough. We don't believe enough. And so you see, before Moses dies, Joshua is chosen to lead the people to possess the promised land. And you know, they're going to go in and they're going to have that land of victory. Come on, folks, honestly. Do you understand anybody that just got hung up in the wilderness? They miss out on the walls of Jericho falling down. I'm going to be honest with you. When I get to heaven, I want to see the DVD of the walls of Jericho falling down. I want to see and hear everything. Well, I may not want to hear everything people say, you know, in Jericho, because they were bad people, some of them. So, but I want to see them walking around the walls. I want to see God's people. I want to see God's people as they march around those walls of Jericho. And I don't know if they were singing Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. I don't know that they sung that, but it sounds good. And I want to see those walls fall flat. And yet I don't have to say that's the only thing I can see as far as victories, because long, long ago I stepped across the Jordan River and I walked that path through the river and walked across into a victorious Christian life. And I can give testimonies of victories in my life, and they're not old victories, folks. They're victories this week. They're victories these last couple days. Their victories, their constant victories. It's not because of me. It's because of Him. But it's because He told me to go. Amen. He told me to step into the water. And He'd dry it up. And I could just walk on in and take the victories one by one. And yes, my glass is full of milk. And praise God, my biscuits got honey on it. And hallelujah, there's been a lot of victories. A lot of victories. And there's people all over. There's folks in here been saved a long, long time. And the folks that have been saved a long, long, they'll tell you about victory, 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 victory. You know, phooey on what the world has to offer. Phooey on the temptations. And I know they pull all of us, but God's victories are so much better. So much better. And so, yes, you know, we have milk, we have honey, but the cows, the goats, they have to be milked. The honeycomb, it has to be, you have to get the honey out of that thing. And the enemy's all around you, okay? It's like God is saying, okay, I've come to deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and I'm going to bring you into a land, a good land, and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And this is a place, are you ready? This is a place of the Canaanites. Oh, they are going to try to kill you. And the Hittites, they're after you. And the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and they're every one of them going to try to kill you. Do you understand that? There's milk, there's honey, but you got to get it. And you got to fight while you get it. Because of the cows and bees and the enemies. And what are you going to do? I challenge you tonight, dear Christian friend. God has some wonderful things for us. We just have to understand it's not just a piece of cake. It's work and it's battle. Number one, just three things tonight. Number one, the contents. The contents. Here's one of the things that Joshua and Caleb understood. They understood God's promise. God said, it's all yours. Everything's yours. It's all your Canaan. It's all yours. Now, wait a minute. What do we have to do? Do we have to file for a title? No. He said, here's what you have to do. Step foot on it. That's it. You just, wherever you step foot, it's yours. Isn't that wonderful? Right now, if you had a place you could just set foot on and it's yours, you have some place in mind. I got a place in mind right now I'm thinking of. Wouldn't that be something if all of a sudden that was the law? Wouldn't that be fun? I got a spot right in mind. I'm not telling you, just in case it happens. Amen? I got a spot. You have a spot? Anybody have a spot in mind? Huh? Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. See, some of you are thinking. Some of you, I don't raise my hand ever in church. I just won't do it. All right. But now, wait a minute. That's what God told them. I got news for you, folks. God's telling us he has a victorious life for you. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to walk around sad and discouraged like nothing's happening. You certainly don't have to join in with all the naysayers that God's not doing anything today, because God would be glad to do something today. We just have to claim the ground, the contents. It's ours, everything. God gave it to them, but they only received what they claimed, they stepped foot on. So here's a guy, and there's the Jordan River, and here's a guy that just stays over here. And he never goes across, and he stays in the wilderness. Imagine what he's going to say about his Christian life. Yeah, this isn't very good. Boy, I'll tell you, it wasn't a very good idea. You know, I'm not so sure that was the greatest thing back in those days when I got saved. You hear it all the time. Hear it all the time. Now, I guarantee there's nobody that goes to heaven that says, I wish I hadn't got saved. They're always glad they got saved. By the way, when they're on their deathbed, they're always glad they got saved too. When they're sick, they're glad they got saved. But it's just amazing how we get all bent out of shape because, it's supposedly so great over there, but we're not ready to walk over there. As ye have received Christ Jesus your Savior, so walk. Amen. And I received him by faith. My next step should be by faith, shouldn't it? Baptism was by faith. Church attendance was by faith. Tithing is by faith. Serving God is by faith. Saying, I'll work in the bus ministry, that's by faith. When we were just young Christians, I was a very new Christian, raising my hands saying, I'll coach the basketball team. I'll work in the Christians. It was all by faith. I had no idea. None. I remember teenagers snickering the first day that I came to serve God in the church, in the school, and they were laughing, saying, ha, look at that guy. I mean, they thought that was, why? Because I didn't look like them. I didn't act like them. I wasn't like them, but I was like them. I just walked across the river and said, I want it. I want whatever God has for me. I want it. But you got to understand, to drink the milk, I had to, in 40-degree weather, paint the swing set. Red, white, and blue, ACE colors. Amen? Yeah. Wind was blowing. My hair was getting messed up. You know, to get the honey, I got stung by the bees a few times, as you've heard the stories over and over. And it was like, wow, I mean, what is this? But boy, I'll tell you, there's no way in this world I'd trade it for anything. There's just no way, because the contents, it's all ours. But you have to take it. It's just like Noah. Hey, Noah, you know, the flood's over, son. Get out. Lord, I'll tell you what, it's been a while. It stinks in here. Get out, Noah. Don't stay. The ark saved you, but now go on. I got a life for you. I'm afraid a lot of Christians just, I'm so glad the ark protected me. I'm just going to hang on to it the rest of my life. Now look, God has something for you. He has a life for you to live. He has a life that he saved you to so you could do. Amen. He has victory after victory after victory after victory after. You know, you ever watch people when we sing a victory in Jesus? Some folks, you sing it and you don't think, you kind of wonder, do they really know what it is to have victory? Because it's wonderful. Yeah. Milk, honey, and enemies. War. Yeah. And Caleb said this. He said, give me that mountain. How did he have a right to sing? Because God told him it was his. That's how he had a right. When's the last time you got on an old-fashioned altar, during an old-fashioned altar call, and just poured out your heart to God and said, God, here's a mountain I want. Here's something, God, here's something that I want. I want 10 kids in my Sunday school. I want 10 new riders on my bus. When's the last time you got before God and you said, oh, God, give me this thing. You said I could have it. When's the last time in Sunday school, you before Sunday school class, you said, oh God, I've got to have your power. I don't want to just stand up there and say words. I want you to work in the hearts and lives of people. When's the last time you claimed what is available? Like Caleb, give me that mountain. Step foot on the prayer request. When's the last time you prayed believing? I'm not talking about just saying the words. I mean believing God's going to do it. When's the last time you prayed for victory over temptation? I mean, you just got alone with God and spent time and you prayed. When's the last time you prayed to be a better servant? When's the last time you prayed to be a more effective soul winner? When's the last time you took a bunch of tracts and you begged God to use those tracts and to save somebody as they read those tracts? I'm talking about stepping foot on the things that God said are yours and they're mine if we'll just claim those things. Our problem is we're too busy setting foot on other things that don't matter. We'll set our feet on some sports, or we'll set our feet on making lots of money, or we'll set our step foot on being a big shot or rising at work. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm just saying, what about the things that God has promised us? Hey, you want to get your mind off of Egypt? Then step foot in Canaan and walk there for a while. And beg God while you're there for a while to let you have the mountains that are there for God's people. You ever wonder why some people are the ones always giving the testimonies? I've had people come to me and get mad and say, you know, I'm getting tired of them always giving a testimony. I said, well, what's your problem? They said, well, it seems like they're bragging. I said, yeah, but who are they bragging on? It's not that they're bragging about anything they did. They're bragging about things God did. Well, yeah, but I mean, come on. So-and-so, they thank God for a bag of potatoes. And I just look at them like, do you understand what potatoes mean to somebody who doesn't have much? And for them to recognize, your problem is you don't recognize God gave you your paycheck. You don't recognize that God's the one that provided your insurance. You don't understand that God's the one that gave you your job. And God's the one that gave you the health to keep your job. Hey, when somebody says, praise the Lord for a bag of potatoes, I'm thinking, you know what? They probably put one of them. If there were 10, they put one of them in the offering plate because they're that serious about, God, that's yours. And then Tim and Chuck ate it while they were counting the offering. Amen. I don't know. They're not pre. Yeah, they are pre. Anyway, that's deep. All right. Look, we just, the milk, the honey, but the enemies. Amen. The milk. Oh, I want the milk. The honey. Oh, I want the honey. But what about those enemies? What about all that's involved? God has so much for us. Satan wants you to focus on the Hittites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. He wants you to look only at them and you miss the milk and the honey. You say, I know, but the honey is guarded by bees. Yeah, and he'd love for you to focus on the bees. Oh, yeah, but the milk, I mean, that's a lot of work to get. Yeah, and he'd love you to focus on that. But I'll be honest with you, you know, a glass of milk and some honey, that's all good, but there's nothing better than the victory that comes from simply doing what God tells us to do. And what's that? Just step foot. Take it. Number one, the contents. Number two is the conflict. And here's our problem right here. Here's Kadesh Barnea. What are we going to do? Wow, look at the fruit. Look at what all's there. Yeah, but look at the bad guys. Look at the work. Look what we're going to have to do. Yeah. You know, everybody I know before I got saved, Satan tried to say to me, well, look at how you're going to have to change. Remember that? Before you got saved? You know, some soul winner said, hey, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And Satan whispers, yeah, but you're going to have to change some things in your life. Remember that? Yeah. And finally, though, by faith, you called upon Jesus to save you. But then immediately, you know, preacher starts preaching, hey, you need to get baptized. You need to surrender your life. And it's like, oh, now what am I going to have to do? Wow. And you start getting afraid of all those things. And at one point, there was milk. At one point, there was honey. At one point, it's, woohoo, I'm excited about this. But Satan got your eyes on everything else that's negative about that. He got your eyes. Or maybe he got you all excited through some charismatic speaker somewhere or some guy you work with who said, once you get saved, everything's perfect. And it's all fun and games from there on. And you didn't expect to get stung by a hornet, right, Paul? And you didn't expect to have to milk the cow to get the milk. You certainly weren't expecting a Hivite to try to stab your gizzard with his spear. Yeah. And there's the conflict right there. There's a lot of opportunities available, folks. But the milk isn't sitting there with cookies ready to dunk. And the honey is not sitting on a biscuit slathered with butter. And unfortunately, neither the milk or the honey are not without enemies all around where you're going to have to go and you're going to have to fight some battles. Amen. What's it mean? Two things in the conflict that it means. Two things that we don't necessarily like and that don't appeal to us. Number one, it means work. It just means good old-fashioned work. Christian life is work. I'm telling you. You know, the folks that are rejoicing in this place are people that work. Amen? It's work. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I think of Paul Bradstreet, and I know tonight is special to him because young Paul now is going off to college. And those boys, the Potter boys, there aren't any finer boys. I mean that with all my heart. But I'm going to tell you, it's been work. I've been a part of that. He's been a part of that. They've been a part of that. But it's almost like, yes, yes, amen, hallelujah, praise God. And we can, I mean, it's so exciting to think, look what God's doing with those boys. And we just kind of, and some folks go, what's the big deal? Oh, man. Because that glass of milk, that bit of honey, that's good stuff. It is so good. But it didn't come easy. It didn't come without a price. And all over this room. You know, Gabby, one of these days you're going to walk across the platform, you'll get a college diploma. And I'm telling you, it's not something that comes easy. It's not something that is just, oh, well, you know, we expect that. We don't expect it. Some of our kids graduate from our school. It wasn't easy. It's not supposed to be easy, folks. And it's just good old-fashioned work. We have young people now. You know, it's like school, and it was exciting to watch some of our young folk. You know, they're working hard in school and studying hard, and because that's, if you don't do that, you have to understand you're going to miss out. It's just good old fashioned work. Bible says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. It's a principle in Scripture. Why do we think somehow we're just going to have all these wonderful things in Christianity just handed to us? You know, why do we somehow think that, well, you know, some people, they're always praising God. Daryl and Phyllis, they're just always praising God. God just keeps giving them a glass of milk. God just keeps giving them honey all the time. Oh, but this couple right here, they fight. Not each other. They fight the battles. I'm with them. We fight together, don't we? And they work, and then God blesses. And that glass of milk's precious when you work for that glass of milk. Amen. You know that. It's just work. And you know, that's what soul winning is. It doesn't just happen. It's not just lucky. Bus ministries, it's work. It's bringing visitors is work. Yeah, I don't know how many people in our time since we've been saved have said, we'll be there. Shreveport, Louisiana, our first Sunday, we had a sign-up Sunday. I was so excited. We went soul winning all day Saturday. We had 29 people sign their names. We will be in church on Sunday. One of them said, if you pick me up, I'll be there. Pouring down rain. I don't know if you know anything about the Gulf Coast and all that area down there. When it rains, it pours. And it was pouring. And we got on this guy's road to pick him up. And I mean, it was mud. I'm in my suit. And we got to the guy's house. And I mean, we're in mud. I'm scared we're going to get stuck. And it's my first day as a pastor, and we've got all these people. All these people are going to be there. They all signed their name. This guy signed his name, and I'm thinking, well, it's pouring down rain. I know he sees us. Beep, beep, beep. No, he's not going to come when I beep, beep, beep. So I run out in the rain to the door, mud all over my shoes, all over my pants. I mean, it's mud everywhere, and bang on that door, and guess what? Nobody comes to the door. I thought, well, you know, anyway, at least we tried. Get in the car, mud all over, and then I'm stuck. And the guys, he called it a drive. I still to this day don't know what it really was. And we're stuck. And now David and I are getting out. We're trying to push. Dave's just a runt. And I mean, we're trying, and we got mud all over us. But praise the Lord, we finally got out, and we're headed to church, and at least we have 28 people that are going to be there because all 29 signed their name. Okay, so one guy didn't show up. Do you understand? Not one person showed up that signed their name that they'd be there. Pastor, where's your visitors? In the mud? I don't know. But you know, we took a church that was running about 20 and got it up to about 200 in a little over a year. You have to understand, it doesn't come accidentally. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of, you know, with work is always sacrifice. How many of you ever milked? Anybody ever milked cows, milked goats? All right. In Bern, Indiana, we had people that milked lots of cows, and they had milking barns and everything. But the thing about milking, it was weird hours. I mean, you know, they basically couldn't tell Bessie what time to give the milk. I mean, they just kind of had to go by these weird hours, and there were, I mean, it was just unbelievable some of the things that they had to do. And you understand that is the ministry. That is a bus ministry. That is a Sunday school class. That's why a lot of, again, you say, I can't believe the children of Israel wouldn't see what God had for them and wouldn't go ahead and take it. And yet we do the same thing. Come on, if David got up, David, he's all excited. Somebody better take his route. Somebody better help on that route. You know, but if you ask him, well, is it worth it? Oh, good night. I'm not even going to let him get up here and start telling you. Because he'll tell you. Hey, it's good. This is good. These kids need you. They need us. They need to hear the truth. Well, is it always fun? Oh, I'll never forget a fellow at one time got in the, he got saved and got baptized and said, you know, I want to serve God. And he got in the bus ministry and he came to church. I can still see him coming down the aisle at our church on a Sunday morning, his first time on the bus. And his glasses were crooked. He had donut cream in his hair. He had all kinds of stuff all over his pants and all over his clothes. I said, how do you like it? He said, wow, this is church? I'm telling you, folks, work. It can be dirty work. Has anybody ever got swished by a cow's tail? We don't have to really get into the description. Notice just understanding where the tail's located and the manners of cows. But a tail swish in the face is never fun. But you know, serving God, it's just, it's work, and sometimes it can be dirty work. Amen. One of the things that impressed me the most when I first came here was the shepherd's ministry and watching folks work with the shepherds and watching some of our folks do some things, honestly, that I'd never, ever thought of as far as a church ministry, and thinking that is why God blesses this church. Because sometimes it's just dirty work. Cleaning, ripping carpet up. That was dirty, wasn't it? Amen? Oh, yeah, dirty work. But, you know, praise the Lord. Because, again, God has given us that opportunity, and there's so many blessings. Not all of it is glorious. You see, we like the blessings of the milk and the honey, but we don't like all that work that it takes. We don't like all that work that it takes to climb up in the tree, and there's that honeycomb, you know, and you wear the bee thing and all that. I've never worked with bees. Bees and I don't have a good relationship at all, not at all. But I'll be honest with you, I do like honey. Amen. Oh yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, there are lots of things involved in that work, and it's just not all glorious. It's not all glorious. Bus ministry, shepherd's ministry, teen ministry, whatever it is, it's just not always glorious. It's work. And sometimes you get stung. I don't know if you ever got kicked by a goat or a cow, but it's not fun. But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's really, there's the work, and then secondly, there's the war. Because he said, not only is it a land flowing with milk and honey, are you excited? But then he said it's a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Amorites and Perizzites and Jebusites and all the ites. And the ites are not good. Do you understand? As soon as they entered, yes, Jericho, the walls fell down. But what happened next? Ai, where they were defeated by a little runt army. Yeah, because of sin. Could they have wiped out Ai? Sure. But Achan sinned. Yeah. They could have easily taken Ai, but sin. Here's the Christian. You know, well, I saw a great victory. I used to see it all the time, but then what? God didn't change. God never changes. The same God that knocked down the walls of Jericho could have stomped Ai just the same. God doesn't change. Who changed? Here's a Christian. He's going along victory after victory after victory. He's growing in the Lord. He loves God. He's getting the milk. He's getting the honey. He's winning the battles. He's seeing victories. God's blessing. And all of a sudden, it all stops. It wasn't God. What was it? It was the person. And often it's sin. That's where the war comes in, because you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to fight that old flesh. You got to fight those old desires. You got to fight that world. Not the world as in people, but the cosmos, the system that hates God. You got to fight it. Verse 8, back at our text, you know, the Bible says, These enemies, the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. He repeats it a little bit later on. Look at verse 17. He says, I said, I'll bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Okay, you're coming up out of the affliction of Egypt. You understand? Egypt's terrible. It's bondage. It's whips. It's a thankless slavery. And he said, I'm going to bring you up out of that affliction. And I'm going to put you right in the land of the, there it is, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. But then this time, he ends it with, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, it's worth it. It's worth it to fight the Hittites. It's worth it to fight the Amorites. It's worth it when the Perizzites come, whoop them. Hey, it's worth it to fight the Hivites. Oh, it may seem tough today. Yeah, I got to milk the cow. I got to fight off the bees, and then I got to fight the Hittites. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah, amen. You mean I got to knock on doors? I got to invite them to ride the bus? I got to make sure that I have enough people on the bus? I got to make sure I've got all my records kept, and I got to make sure all this is right? And then I got to fight my own flesh? Because when I woke up Sunday morning, I didn't want to get on the bus. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Vacation Bible School. It's like the fair. You know, Brother Chase. Amen, brother. We get talking about, wonder what we could do instead of the fair. Sit at home, drinking tea and eating Doritos. Great idea. You know. I mean, let's seriously. You say, oh, not you and Brother Chase. You'd never think. Every year, it happens every year. I say to my wife, countdown, 1 month from today, Vacation Bible School will be over. I wonder if there's something we could do. Could we make the rapture happen first? But I always say this. I say, you know what? When it is over, we will be so glad we did what we did. And it's always that way, folks. It will always be that way. Why? Because God has a great blessing for you. So you got to fight and keep going and fight these bitter enemies. Oh, they're not the same. I love it. God says, well, there's the Canaanites. That could be your laziness. There's the Hittites. That could be our worldliness. There's the Jebusites. That could be my wanting to know what everybody else is doing. There's the Perizzites. That could be my own sin. Whatever. I got to fight all that. Then I got to milk a cow. And then I got to swat the bee. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah, these enemies are not the same, but they're very similar. They're all out to get you. Amen. Oh, they're and we're going to try to help them not to get you. Amen. Number one is the contents. Number two is the conflict. The last thing, number three, is the conquest. We are more than conquerors. You ever thought about that? More than conquerors. As long as the children of Israel obeyed God, they saw victory and blessing. I'm talking about every day. As long as they obeyed, every day. Milk the cow, they got the milk. Every day, go to the honeycomb, they got the honey. Amen? Well, we had to fight off the bees. Well, our hands got tired milking the cow. Every day. The enemy's trying to kill my cow. The enemy's trying to take my land where my honeycomb is. We got to fight the enemy. And every time they did what God said to do. Lord, should I fight him? God says, you are more than able to whoop them. That's in the Hebrew. Amen. You are more than able. Okay, let's get them. Let's go get them. You understand that's the way it always is. You are more than able to overcome your flesh. Do you know that? I just don't want to get up early in the morning, preacher. I can't ride a bus because I'd have to get up too early. You're more than able to overcome your flesh. But preacher, if I got on a bus route, I'd lose part of my Saturday. You're more than able to lose that Saturday. You're more than able. You can handle it. Well, yeah, but I know me and I'll quit. You're more than able to not quit. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And you can walk out with a glass of milk. And you can walk out with a handful of honey. You say, I might get stung, and you might have some stings on you. But praise God, you got the honey. And you might get stuck in the gizzard from a parasite. Sounds like one of the bees that would get you with the honey. But as long as they obeyed, they saw victory and blessing. When they disobeyed, they saw wilderness life. As long as they obeyed, they had milk. As long as they obeyed, they had honey. As long as they obeyed, yeah, they had war. You will have war too. As long as you're obeying God, you just mark my word, you've put a bullseye on you. And Satan's going to hurl darts at you like crazy. It happens. I'm telling you, just plan on it. Plan on it. You know what? I've decided I'm going to get my CDL. Get ready for darts, my friend. Because here they come. Well, you know, God's laid it on my heart to be a Sunday school teacher. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and get out the marker tonight as we're coloring the floor, and we'll draw a big bullseye on you. But we don't really need to, because the devil already has one on you. And he's going to start throwing those darts. And he's going to throw them right at you. Huh? Oh, you know, I think God wants me now to sing in the choir. Amen. Just get ready. Get ready. There's lots and lots of milk for you. There's lots of honey for you. I'm serious. You cannot possibly imagine all that God has for you. But get ready. Because there's a parasite hiding, ready to leap out at you. These young people going off to college, hey, listen to me. Yeah. Oh, college, it's a lot of fun. Not when you're going to college to do something for God. It's not all fun. There's a lot of fun. But it's not all fun. It's war. Why? Because God has something for you to do. God has great, great things for you out there. And when you step out and say, God, I'm going to do it, it's war. It's war. Hey, church, what do we want? What do we want? You know, we can go through life just looking at the milk and honey. I mean, honestly. Or eventually we become like so many others. You know, we say we don't want to fight the fight anymore. We don't want to fight the battles anymore. Pretty soon there's no bus ministry. Pretty soon there's no soul winning. Pretty soon there's no altar call. Pretty soon there's just a bunch of folks that will just gather around and sing Kumbaya together and roast marshmallows, which the teens are doing tonight, but it's not because of that. It's where that's it. Hey, oh, we have each other. Group hug. And we just let the world go to hell. Because, but I'm serious about this. There's no better milk and honey than seeing lost souls come to Jesus Christ. And it's why we're here. It is why we are here. And we're going to have to fight the battle to get the milk and to get the honey. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We've seen the contents, it's all ours. The conflict, it's work and it's war. The conquest, it's all for us. We are more than conquerors. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.